The presence of the Lord. Of course, He's everywhere present. No matter where you go, He is there. You know, in the deepest, darkest depths, and also in the glorious heights, He is there. So He's here right now. And when you can feel that presence in that special way, that comfort, that love, that reassuring, that forgiveness, it's a beautiful thing. So Lord, we thank You for Your presence here this morning, and that You're with us always. May we acknowledge Your presence and live in Your presence. Let us start by hearing from Him in His Word.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Here ends the reading.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Luke, chapter 20, verses 27 through 40. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her, and in the same way the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, The people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, for they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive. Some of the teachers of the law responded, Well said, teacher, and no one dared ask him any more questions. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. All right, I would ask any kids that want to come up for a children's sermon to come on up. You're going to need this table here. All righty. Got a jar, a normal jar? Anything different about it? It's not a trick? Okay. Does that seem like a normal water balloon? Yeah. Yeah, you can't throw it. Okay. Yep. And does that look like a normal straw? Yeah. Yep, no tricks. Okay, anything like that. All right. We're going to have you come around the sides here so the people can see. It's important when you're teaching to let people see. So, yeah. Someday when you're science teachers, or else when you're pastors and doing children's sermons, yeah, you're going to keep that in mind. Okay, so we got this water balloon here, which is very cold because I set it out in the truck last night so I wouldn't forget it. And it's sort of got partially frozen, a little crystallized, so I'm not sure if this is going to work, but let us pray. Okay, Lord, you're going to make this work. We believe in you, and we know it's going to. Okay, so today we're going to look at a little bit about sin and temptation. This, of course, is bigger than that jar. It's not going to fit in there, right? You can see that that's not going to happen. But we're going to make it fit. All right? Don't try this at home unless you got a parent helping you. We're going to take a cotton ball here. Start that on fire. Put it in there. How about that? It went in there. Okay. Because of, well, the pressure-temperature relationship and gave the socks a lot that you learn about as juniors in chemistry. But, okay. You'll get there. Now, if I try to get it back out, it doesn't want to come out. See that? You can pull on it and get back in there. Now it's sort of wedged and stuck. Okay. So go ahead and pull on that a little bit. It doesn't want to come out of there, does it? Okay. Now, this is sort of like sin. You know, we can get sucked into sin just like that happened. We got an enemy. The devil is trying to tempt us all the time. And he's trying to pull us in. And once we get in, we can get trapped. And it's just, you're not going to get out of there very easily. That sin sucks us in and traps us is what it does. Okay. But God did make a way out. He tells us we'll never be tempted beyond our ability to resist because he will make a way out. So with this straw here then, I'm going to use that to equalize the pressures. And look at that. Pops right out. Okay. The deal was there. It was able to vent. We can get back in there and show you this again. I could use the flame easier maybe. Okay. So it doesn't want to come out of there. But you can ask your grandparents about when they used to make gas cans that had vents and they'd actually pour rather than these communist ones that they have today. Okay. Yeah. And being at vents like that, you just want to pull up on that a little bit and you'll see that it comes right out. Look at that, because it can vent. Okay. So when we're tempted, we can always remember that God's going to provide a way out. He wants to try too. Okay, let's put that in there. All right. First of all, just try pulling a little bit and see if it comes out easily. It does not come out easily, right? Okay. And we'll get back in there so we can get the vent there. Now pull on it. Find out it comes right out. Look at that. Nice. So God will always provide a way out when we're tempted. We might be tempted to do something we shouldn't, but we call on God. He's going to provide that way out, all right? All right. Thanks for coming up. And guess what? We got children's church today, so if y'all want to go with Beth and Maya, they can go to children's church here, and they got some fun activities and things to learn, and you can go with Maya and Beth there. Yeah. All ages, you know, welcome. Okay. I'm like a big kid, too. I like to go sometimes. Okay. Okay, I'll set this aside here. Put this back over here. All right, Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you that you always provide a way out, Lord. When we're tempted to do something that we shouldn't, Lord, you are there to guide us. And may we be open to your guidance that we can, I don't know, follow you faithfully. Amen. All right, today we have this account of the burning bush. Moses, by this time in his life, he's between 40 and 80 years old. We know that from the preceding and the succeeding readings there. He had killed the Egyptian, fled into the wilderness, came across some women trying to water their sheep, but shepherds would get in the way, and he pushed them back and let the women in, earned favor as a result, and got himself a bride out of the deal, okay? Jethro, the Midianite priest, those are his daughters. And so he's out there watching his pa-in-law's sheep now, his father-in-law's sheep. Jethro was the Midianite priest. This is in Midian now. If you go from Egypt, and if you go to the east, northeast, you can get to the Sinai Peninsula there and this land of Midian where the Midianites were. The Midianites were also descendants of Abraham. Abraham, of course, had Isaac, and then we had, you know, Jacob, and you can go down the line all the way to Moses here. But after Sarah had died, Midian remarried Keturah and had a son named Midian. And they became the Midianites. They had traveled into the Sinai Peninsula and set up residence there. So he's a priest of the Midianites, which were also descendants of Abraham. So these are sort of their long-lost cousins, if you will. So Moses is out there watching Jethro's sheep for him, and then you know, just probably doing the shepherd thing. He can't be scrolling through his phone or anything like that. You know, he didn't have that to do. All he could do is, I don't know, watch the sheep and watch the clouds go by. You know, maybe talk to God a little bit and, you know, think about things. Maybe he's thinking about, you know, his wife, some things like that. Who knows? But then something catches his attention. There's a bush that's on fire. That's not normal. Fire in that time had to be started by a human or else a wildfire by lightning or something like that. I'm going to guess it's not raining here and there's no lightning. But anyway, this bush is burning. And that definitely catches his attention here. He goes over to check it out. And it says, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire. So he saw an angel in there appearing to him. Angels, messengers from God. They are created beings similar to us, but we have lives here on earth. Angels are eternal, and we will be too, of course. But angels created to praise God. There are messenger angels. There's warrior angels. There's different types of angels. They have different types of missions. And this is a messenger angel. He came to get Moses' attention. And certainly did. Moses goes over to investigate. And as he approaches, he hears a disembodied voice coming from this bush. So, you know, okay, that's a little disconcerting, right? You're out there all alone in the desert or wilderness with your sheep, and to see this bush, and all of a sudden it's speaking. And next level, it's speaking his name. It knows me. Okay, this is not normal. And if it knows your name, then all of a sudden, how do you know who I am? What's up here? Well, it's God. And of course, he knows everything. So Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. God is holy. He is set apart. There's none like him. And in his presence, where you are standing, is holy ground. And this Mount Horeb, God declared as holy ground. It's going to come right here in a few verses later. We're going to find out a little bit more about it, this Mount Horeb. Horeb means dryness or desolation. So this is in a wilderness place for sure in this mountain. There's other places that are holy ground. Think of Mount Moriah, where Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac. Later on, that would become the Temple Mount, the highest point in Jerusalem, where Solomon would build his temple, where Herod's temple would exist. And today, we have the Temple Mount with the Dome of the Rock there and some other things. But holy ground, God claimed that as holy. In this place, he claimed as holy as well. There's certain places where God's presence is just incredible. When Jesus does return, it's going to be the Mount of Olives, then he's going to go to the Temple Mount. It tells us in Scripture as well. So that place is set aside. It is holy. And where God is, his holiness, there is holy ground. God continued to speak, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. No one can look on him and live. Later on, Moses was asked to see God, and God said, no one can look on me and live, but tell you what, I'll hide you in the cleft of this rock, I'll walk by, and you can sort of see the afterglow after I go by. That happened. You can read about it later on in the Bible. And as a result, Moses had this glow about him that just scared his people when he came back. He had to wear a veil because his face was glowing from being in the presence of God. And the presence of God will leave you changed. If you've ever experienced the presence of God in a special way, there is that afterglow. You're just going, wow. And you are changed. So God is communicating to him, and he's telling him, I've heard the people, the cry of my people in Egypt. They've been enslaved now for years, for centuries. Those that are there now can't even remember life before that. This has become their norm. But they know that there's something better. They're crying out to God. And God heard them and said, I will lead them to a land flowing with milk and honey, a land rich with resources, which will grow great crops, and it'll just be a blessing to these people. The home of the Ites, the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, all the Ites, that he's going to drive out of there and open up this land for his people. So he tells Moses then, I'm going to bring the people to the promised land. And Moses is going, yes, 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 we get to go to this place. And he says, and you're going to lead them. And he's, oh, are you sure that I can do this, that I can accomplish this mission? I'm just, being a shepherd right now, and I don't have any special talents. And later on he'd say, I don't speak well or anything like that. But God will equip him. God doesn't always call those who are equipped. He will equip those he calls. If God calls for someone, he calls you for a purpose. He's going to equip you with what you need. He's going to give you the wisdom in that time. He's going to give you the strength in that time, the energy in that time, the guidance in that time, the discernment. He will equip you with what you need so that his will can be carried out. So if he sets you up into something that seems impossible, know that he's there with you and he's going to make a way. Like I'd used a couple weeks ago the example of being promoted or something. Maybe you're promoted into a new position, or when I made staff sergeant in the guard, all of a sudden, now I got to lead this whole squad and everything, but I had seen other people do it, and God was equipping me as well, and hey, it worked out beautifully. He will make a way. He is a way maker, among other things. So Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Sort of, are you sure? Me? Well, Moses was familiar with Pharaoh's courts. Remember, as an infant, he was put in the river, rescued by Pharaoh's daughter, and had grown up among them. So he knew what it was like. It's sort of like God started handpicking this guy. Later on, he handpicked Saul to become Paul. He's just good about that. He sees people's strengths, and he uses them. And we all have different strengths or gifts. So are you sure? And God said, I will be with you. Yeah. He'll be with us. And if God is with you, his power, his strength are available, his comfort, his reassurance. Yeah, it's all good. Don't get caught up in the worry. Don't get caught up in the stress. Don't get caught up in the anxiety. Can I do this? No, lean on him. He is there and he is faithful. He wants to help if we'll let him. Many times we just seek to go our own stubborn, rebellious way. But if we'll just return to God and draw on his power and his strength, things go so much better. He makes a way. So he says, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain, Mount Horeb. And they did. Mount Horeb was later known as Mount Sinai. It was a place where the Ten Commandments were given. It's the place where the people came to the base of the mountain, but were not allowed to go on it because of the presence of the Lord is so strong that there's smoke and fire coming out of the top of this mountain. And it's not volcanic either, which is next level. You know, if it's volcanic mountain, okay, I can explain that away, right? This is not. It was God's presence. So Horeb, meaning dryness and desolation. Sinai means thorn or thorn bush. And maybe it was a thorn bush that was on fire here too when Moses was there the first time. But he would return later on. This is prophecy that you will worship me on this holy mountain, or on this mountain, holy ground once again, where the people would worship, the Ten Commandments would be given. Alrighty, so Moses is reassured, but he's still thinking, okay, what am I going to say to the people that you've given me to lead here? And again, I'm going to be a leader? Yes, you will be an amazing leader of great faith. And he'll have his brother and others to help him, of course. God's going to provide assistance. So suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israel. It's the I Am has sent you. God's name, I Am. I love that it's in present tense. It's not I was. No, it's I Am. He is. He is loving. He is faithful. He is present. He is forgiving. He is just. He is kind. He is all these things. The I Am, the great I Am. Later on in the book of John, Jesus would have his seven I Am statements. I am the bread of life, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection, the life. By saying that, he was saying that he was God without saying it directly. The people who knew, they knew. But I am, he is, always. Always there with us, always there for us, if we'll just call on him. He is the I Am. I love that name, that present tense and that closeness and everything that he is that we can't put into words. I am. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. And he still is. He still is our I Am. We seek him and we find his presence. It's beautiful. All right, the gospel today also mentioned the burning bush in Mount Sinai. So let's just turn to that here a little bit. Jesus is being, hunted down in a way, trying to be cornered. There we go. They're trying to corner him. The Pharisees had just done it prior to this reading, holding up that Roman coin and asking, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? They thought, we got him now. He said, no, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but to God what is God's. He had a great answer. So the Pharisees had tried their question. The Sadducees, this other group of people, now did not care for Jesus, of course. They were trying to come up with a question where they're going to trap him. Now the Pharisees were the ones that had to follow every bit of the law, all the rules, and they made up their own rules besides. Sadducees were another major group within the time of the temple here, in the time of Jesus. The Sadducees were a little different. They, for one thing, said there's no resurrection. There's no afterlife. You live your life here and did, but that's all, folks, okay? There is nothing more. They also said there are no angels. They only recognized the Torah, the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They did not recognize anything else as Scripture. They were all about power. They held a majority on the Sanhedrin. This is like the Congress of the temple and the Supreme Court all rolled into one. And they held the majority of the seats here. The priests were normally Sadducees. And all this sounds, great to the Jews, except these Sadducees also colluded with the Romans. The Romans who controlled the area at that time and let the Jews have their own little religion, their own little temples, as long as they didn't get out of hand. And to keep that balance and to keep their power, the Sadducees colluded with the Romans. They cooperated with them. So it was all about power for them. The Sadducees would come to an end in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, when Rome came in and okay, the Sadducees came to an end. They had no more temple to offer sacrifices in. Pharisees had gone on for a little bit longer. But anyway, these Sadducees then have cooked up a question where they're going to trap Jesus. They're going to humiliate him publicly. And some of the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection, again, they said there's no afterlife, no angels, came to Jesus with that question. A man marries, his wife dies without children, so his brother, the second in line, is obligated to marry him, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, all the way down the line. So by this time she's had seven husbands, but no children. Who will she be married to in the afterlife, in the resurrection, in heaven? And Jesus replied, the people of this age marry are given and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come, those who will be saved, right, will be resurrected to spend eternity with God, will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. His response took their question, negated it completely, but he also stuck in a little bit about the resurrection that they didn't believe in. He sort of poked it a little bit. And then he poked him even more when he mentioned about the angels. He's speaking truth about that. So these Sadducees are sort of, now they're embarrassed or caught off guard. So the resurrection, the angels, and we will be God's children to the children of the resurrection. Well, that's just a beautiful thought. God taking care of us, God watching out for us, the perfect Father, the perfect one. And the same God who was there in the burning bush. In the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. He says, I am. Not I was the God of them. I am the God of them, for they are still alive. They are alive in the afterlife, and we will be too. And as believers in Jesus, we are guaranteed eternity with him in this beautiful place that I'm certainly looking forward to. And I would hope everybody is. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. All are alive to him. For to him all are alive. Life goes on beyond what we see here. And it's going to be wonderful. The same God that was in the burning bush, the same God that Jesus is talking about here, is the same God that we are gathered to worship here this morning, the same God who is outside of time. To him all are alive, not only on earth. Someday we will worship beside the angels. The same God. So as Moses heard from him and followed through, completing the mission that God had set out for him, may we hear clearly from him as well. When we're in his presence on that holy ground, may we listen, knowing that God will equip us for whatever mission he has for us. Lord, we offer ourselves up. Amen.